All right, well, let's pray real quick. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time. It is you that we want to hear and need to hear. And we just look for you and wish for your will today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first I'll say, Firstly, I may be speaking slow. It's probably because I'm trying not to mess anything up, I'm trying to listen to God. So if I so if I look weird or sound weird, don't worry about it, okay? And secondly, I'm here in a fear today because the prophetic words and visions about this place, which I want to say have been coming down for more than 20 years, but I'm not sure exactly. Is that about, yeah. They are very amazing. There's going to be a lot going on. And the Lord told me the other night very clearly when I was working on this that we are right around the corner. We are right there for that time that's been prophesied about all these years. And it's a crucial time. And I'm up here with a message that could be, a lot of people could be in danger if they approach it with the wrong heart. So it, scared me a little bit to give it, but we're going to do it. firstly, the Lord is repeating to me a warning that he gave me the other day, or the other week in a prayer meeting. He told me to give the warning that there is coming a time when we are going to be tempted to take in the glory for his power. That time is coming. And he showed me the other night that he is going to move out of the ministry, anyone who does. Amen. When we reach this time, there is going to be no more ease for doing that. And that doesn't mean getting into a fear, trying to never make a single mistake, but it does mean making sure your heart is right. And that the one getting the attention is him. And now, the topic today, The topic today, firstly, I'd like to ask everybody here, and maybe if somebody would like to speak, that would be cool. Has anyone ever prayed, been given words by God to pray? And you prayed them, and you felt something happen. And then later on, the prayer was answered. Would you raise your hand real quick if you've done that? So 10-ish, 10-ish people. I felt that feeling or one like it myself. And it's actually a sign that something is about to happen, and it is a biblical sign. Could anyone share a time when that happened? Does anybody want to? You don't have to. No? Oh, okay.
Many years ago, I was addicted to Diet Pepsi. Man, I drank it like water. And I went to my doctor, and she said, if you don't quit drinking that stuff, it's going to take your liver out. So I went to my car, and I said, Lord, take this out of me. And, instantly he did. I never, ever have had one since, and I have no desire. Amen. That's just a simple one. Mm-hmm. There has been many, 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 like when I've shared, I won't go into it details, but with Sarah, when she accidentally got into peace medicine that kept him asleep and awake, and if the Lord hadn't spoke to me that she was going to die, she would have died, because that's what that medicine, it puts you so into a deep, your muscles just quit working. But anyway, we went to the hospital, and she's here today serving God full of him, and I love it.
Amen.
That's one of many, many, many ones we've had.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else got a story? Oh, you got a few, maybe. Either way, yeah, sorry.
not very much of a story, but somebody was telling me about the Perry packing plant. They laid off a lot of people, so we prayed for it. And I was in Casey's yesterday waiting for him to cook a pizza, and I was just, I never look at the news, but I looked at the newspaper, and the world's largest sausage plant is being built in Perry, Iowa, and they're going to, 500 people are going to be employed there. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So, Sarah and I, my daughter Sarah and I, have been sick with a really bad respiratory thing, and so much that you almost think that you are going to die because I couldn't breathe. And it just finally, you know, as you come before the Lord and you're just wondering, am I going to go back up to you, Lord? I came two Sundays ago, and I talked, or Debbie whispered in my ear before I left, and she said, declare those, the Lord is saying, declare those things that are not as though they are. And then, you know, you think to yourself, you've known that all that time, but it just sparked something in me. And I went home, and it was like, okay, God, show me some healing scriptures. Show me what I need to do. And I have this little book by Charles Capps. And it was, the whole thing is about speaking the word, and it's just jam-packed with that. So I just took it, and Sarah and I began reading that, and we are so much better. And I just want to thank the Lord that Debbie was obedient to tell me, and then God just showed me. He said, dig in this drawer, and here it was, you know, that little book. And I carry it with me in my pocket, and it's like, you know, I have the tools, but I need to take them out and speak them. Amen. And if I don't speak them, you know, it is crazy. So I want to say one other thing about us and where God places us in our lives. Because I work in a hospital, I work in surgery, and every day I pray, God, place me where you want me to be so I can pray for my people. And I'm not praying out loud, but there's continuing education that shows that if you pray for a patient, even if they don't know you're praying for them, they get better faster and quicker, and diagnoses change. And it's just, it's an amazing thing, even if they don't know you're praying for them. So I feel like, okay, that's my ministry. And I've had two situations recently, a little 27-year-old man who is dying of cancer. And we did surgery on him, so I've been really praying for him and so burdened for him. And he's got this tattoo of Jesus on his neck, you know, and I just thought, he's got to know you, Lord. And then last Friday night, we worked all night on this young girl who's a foreign exchange student who was tubing, being pulled behind a boat, tubing, and she fell off, and literally all the water ripped up her entire intestine. So she's got a huge incision now and a colostomy, and I mean, I just felt so bad for that girl, just thinking, I'm going to go have a day of fun, and now her life is on the brink of either dying or not. So I just want to say that God's placing us in places where He's going to give us words to say from the Bible. He's going to give us words to say in our hearts. And I really believe it's strategic that He's placing each of us every day in our sphere of influence, that if we'll speak out, it's incredible what He wants to do. But we need to be brave and just realize that just little old us, He's got us there for a powerful moment. And I just want to encourage us all that we need to be able to be aware that we're those sparks, we're that flame that He places into the world so that the light of the world is us, Jesus shining through us to them.
Amen.
Is there time for one more?
Oh,
do you have a lot? Okay. Yeah. We are currently in this situation right now with how God spoke and how he is. I haven't seen the whole picture yet, but in March, this young man came to our home soliciting for painting our house. His college student, and this is what he's doing for the summer to earn his way through school. He's from Bosnia. Anyway, I knew when that young man came to the door, he was from the Lord, and I knew that there was a bigger picture to all this. I just didn't know what, and it didn't. I just knew God was working through this, and in this, not only did his crew, they allowed me to pray for them. I just got to be Jesus with skin on for 2 days. And then this young man's father, he came in to the picture and repaired some stuff on our garage. And now this weekend, he's at our home tearing off out the rotten deck. And I prayed with him yesterday because he had really bad back pain. He and his brother came. And I said, they are not believers. Well, we led the son to Jesus. He accepted Jesus when he came and talked to us about the painting. Hadn't been to church ever. Didn't have a Bible. So, you know, how God is just working, and he's going to touch that whole family. We just haven't seen the end of that yet. But I prayed for this man yesterday, and I gave him one of Chris's strong prescription pills. But I prayed for him first, and this morning when he came, I said, how are you doing? He said, better. He says, with the prayer and the medicine. I said, well, it's mostly the prayer. But God is working. I mean, because, like you said, Joni, we have to be bold. And God puts us in these situations, and we have to speak out. And it's, you know, I said to him this morning, it's God working through these hands. I'm laying hands on you, yes, but it is Jesus. And so we're waiting for the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says. But it's listening to that voice.
Well, I would like to, what I'm going to say, I'll have to make it short because it's a long story. Anyway, I know the Lord placed me in this place for a reason. And I moved up here 7 years ago because I was sick and my son moved me up. And I started watching TV a lot more because I had to I had to leave my job because of the illness. I'm not going to go into that. Anyway, I started watching TV, and I was drawn to the prophetic. And I was mentored online, and I was told to find, churches that are fivefold ministries. But I didn't know where to find them, and I wasn't pleased with the church that I was going to. And one day I said, Holy Spirit, please show me where the churches are, because I don't know where to find them. And I Googled online, and they were far away. So the Holy Spirit told me to go back to the church I was going to and pray for them. That's what he told me. Within 5 months, I met Matt and Frederica, and I'm here. I'm here, and I've been healed. Some healing have occurred here. I've met people who have prayed over me, and some, you know, I'm going through some things in my family, and I'm so grateful to the Lord because he's so good, and he answers prayers. And although we may be going through turbulence and trials, we have to have that faith in God because he's good and he hears our prayers and he comes in at the right time. So I'll just leave it at that. But there's so many things that, you know, the Lord has been doing in my life. And I know I'm here strategically for a reason.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the Lord, as we were back here about to start our Sunday school class, I asked Eden who she would like to learn more about today. And the Lord answered for me and said, Ebenezer. And so I'm like, okay. So I looked up Ebenezer. And it's in 1 Samuel. It talks about where Samuel set up a stone. And he named it Ebenezer. And he basically is thanking God for helping them. And he says, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And so the Lord wanted to confirm that he has helped us to this point, and he will continue to finish the good work that he has begun. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Oh, okay.
Just real briefly, the Lord showed me this as our family was speaking, that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it comes out of you through your breath. And because Keith has been in this situation at the VA hospital, every time I walk by some guy that looks horrible sitting in a wheelchair, I just look at him and I say, how are you doing today? And a smile comes. That's, you know, and as I speak at the breath, that Holy Spirit comes out. That's how simple it is. And if you give it out, God will give you more.
Amen. It's harder to come up with an example of my own. A lot of times I think I've been praying for things that are really hard to quantify answers to or qualify them. But I've had it where something will come to mind, very similar to a few things we heard just now. Something from the Word will come to mind, and I will pray it, and there will be a feeling like something is moving. Not like it's moving around the room, but it feels like it's still, but still somehow like it's moving. It feels like a shaking. And in Ezekiel, to me, it does. And in Ezekiel 37:7, it says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. The foundation for answered prayer, answered confessions, is agreement with heaven's will. That is what makes today hard to talk about. I know a guy a long time ago. He doesn't go here, but when he was very young, he prayed. He desperately wanted things to work out with a girl that he knew at school, I guess. He desperately wanted that. It turned out in the end that girl would have been terrible for him, but he desperately wanted it. It was his will. And when he didn't get it, he one day said to God, how about my will then? And he walked away from God. Later on, when he was in college, he met someone who was in an organization called Campus Crusade for Christ, and he returned. So he's doing quite well today, thank goodness. But confusions about prayer are some of the, I think possibly the single most dangerous things to our spiritual health as Christians. Very, very dangerous. So it must be said, a warning. You can imagine if someone you knew, imagine someone you know really well that you really care about, and they've been struggling for decades and decades with money. They're always broke. They've always got landlords calling them. The power's always getting turned off and back on. And one day, that person wins $10 million, okay? They are freaking out. They go get the suitcase. They put it under their bed. They take a couple $100 bills out. They go to the grocery store. They buy all the most amazing stuff they ever thought of buying before. They come back. And they put the groceries down, you know, and they're thinking, man, I just want to look at that thing while I'm putting my groceries away, while I'm packing them up, you know. They go to their bedroom and the suitcase is gone out from under their bed because it's been stolen, because they left the door unlocked, right? If that happened to the person that you cared for most, they would feel more pain than they'd felt in all those decades in one moment. it would be worse than if they had never gotten their prayer at all. And in, let's see if I actually put this in my notes here. Let's see. Oh. Okay, yeah. There's a verse that we've kind of taken, I think, as more of a rebuke than an understanding. It says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Yep. Yeah. And the Father isn't so worried about us being perfect or imperfect. He's more worried about torturing us with the answer to our own prayer. Yeah. The Father is more worried about torturing us with the answer of our own prayer than he is about us being perfect. We would not want that to happen to a good friend at work. We are the Father's dear children. That would be way worse for him to have to watch than it would be for us to experience. And so, as we go into the message, just remember, you have to prepare yourself for unanswered prayers, not prepare your prayers to get them. Because the Father does not want to torture you. It's not because he disapproves of you or hates you. It's because he doesn't want to torture you. He doesn't want you to lose it and end up right where you were, but worse. Now, at the beginning, could we go to the next slide here? And then, it's kind of weird, but let's do the first one there. And then one more click, because I messed it up. There we go. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." All right? So, God breathed life into Adam. Now the next one. Told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to multiply. I won't read that one. We all kind of know that one probably. And now the next one. Told Adam and Eve to subdue the earth. Now subdue, that of course doesn't mean other human beings. That was a creation of ours. It means to subdue the earth, the creation, to what we had with us and what Christians have now, which is the kingdom, to grow and prosper the earth. Now, to bring it into subjection to a kingdom that likes to create and make things varied. And right now, I wasn't sure about this part, but the Lord's kind of leading me this way. Let's see here. In 1 Corinthians 7:7, it says, "For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man that every sorry, I'm going to start over. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that." Now, English changed. In 1611, sometimes the words were different than they are now. The word unicorn in 1611 was the word they used to describe a rhinoceros, and, you know, dragon was the word they used for dinosaurs, and so English has changed a little bit. But we've all heard the term proper noun, you know. You can say mountain, and then you can say Mount Everest. You know, proper noun is a noun that is specific and unique, right? Every single person, every single one, has a gift that no one else will ever be given or ever has been given. There could be, I wondered when I got here, long time ago, I was here for a while, and then I left for a while and came back. There was a part kind of back in the corner of my mind, I was wondering, why does the apostle want other people to talk? He's like the apostle. He's the big cool one. You know, that's the cool ministry gift, right? You know, I was very, very new back then. The reason why he wants that is because he has an understanding of this. There are the ministry gifts, but no one will be doing them as well as they could be if they have not discovered their own. There could be... let's see. There could be a seminar, a worldwide seminar of teachers, and they could pray and praise and decree for 1,000 years to be given Chris's unique gift, and it would never be given. Because the Holy Ghost answers, the Holy Ghost gives that gift one time, and only once. And every single one of us in this room, every single one of you has something that, if you discovered it, you wouldn't want to do anything else. And part of that process, part of the intended result of that, is that the Father wants prayer that no one else can say. He wants interaction with Him that no one else can have. And let's go to, let's see, the next one here, and the next. So Jesus breathed on the disciples and told them to receive the Holy Ghost. See if I can find that. Yeah. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Okay. And the next. In the Great Commission, we call it, he told us to teach all nations and to teach them to... here, let me just read it. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And, lo, I am with you always, even unto... Let's see here. One sec here. Okay, hang on. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we have an injunction from him to obey the commandments that he's given us and to teach other people to do so. To, in a manner of speaking, make more of ourselves, to multiply, to be fruitful. In the pre-death and resurrection part of his ministry, he commanded us to pray that the Father's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Many times we hear about prayer, a lot of times as young people, as children, and we think, oh man, I can ask someone who's powerful and I can get stuff, right? and sometimes that's true. However, whenever it does happen, it is because heaven willed it first. If heaven doesn't will it, it won't answer it. Amen. And since heaven doesn't will to torture us, that is why many of us have unanswered prayers. Now, I notice that when I've been praying and I pray those words that I'm given and I feel that feeling, has anyone else ever felt that? It's like you can almost feel something is moving and going on. Has anybody felt that before? Okay, so some nods there. It's very similar to when two people are singing, they're singing a duet, and one of them reaches a note first, and then The other one is kind of struggling, and you can kind of hear that, you know. And then the second one struggles and finally reaches the note. And when they reach that harmony, there is a shaking, right? There is something that you can feel that you couldn't really describe. That element of music has affected people's lives. It has affected the course of history. And the shaking that Ezekiel was talking about, that is for all of us as a key to know when we have hit the note of heaven, when we have finally reached the note that God wants us to reach for that. It is our warning to get out of the way of his will. It's going to happen. Let's see. This place, as I was saying at the beginning, the prophetic words about it are very, very noticeable. This place is, I was thinking this morning, you know, the Lord gave me the word, kind of a strategically important place. And what we do with this message will be very important, because we could end up in a situation where we have everything but a desire to serve God. And then that could suddenly truncate. And God could choose a time to teach us it's not about opening up Christmas presents. That's part of it. But what prayer is about taking an earth that has darkness all around it and subjecting it to light. Taking the disease and subjecting them to health. We are soldiers and we are doctors as Christians. We fight spiritual battles. We pray for people to be healed. We fight enemy forces that are destroying humanity. To involve in all of these things, you can't have a selfish will. And prayer is not an attempt to say the perfect prayer, the attempt to come up with the perfect words. It is a journey where at some point we will all be wrong, and at some point we will all be right, and where one sec. When a person prays, there have been people who have prayed. We've all probably heard both cases where someone has a great deal of confidence that it will happen, and it happens. And then other times someone had barely enough confidence to pray at all. They basically had no confidence it would happen, and it happened. Both cases, you know, the seed of a mustard plant kind and the commanding and sure kind. Both are okay. We've also seen times when both prayers were not answered. The person who was as confident it would be answered as they were in the ground they were standing on, and it didn't happen. And times when the person praying very doubtfully, it also did not happen. Where is the missing link? Prayer is a journey. Let's go to the next one. Prayer is a journey where sometimes our tone will be different from God's tone. sometimes there will not be harmony, and sometimes there will. So what we need to be looking for in prayer, and what will fix it for those who do, what will make it start working for those who do this, what we look for is, what note is heaven singing at? And if we prophesy as we're commanded, just like in Ezekiel 37:7, it will happen. One second here. I'm a bit lost here. One second. So lastly, I'll say, unless something else is brought to me, that, we'll go here. In the high priestly prayer, it's called, there's no real record of Jesus giving kind of a ceremonial ending to that prayer, you know. He didn't really say amen or, you know, anything like that. He just spoke by the Holy Ghost. Amen. He just hit the note of heaven. And one problem that you'll come up against as you do this is, as you look for the note of heaven, as you look to pray, that earth become more like heaven. There has been an issue where people have kind of not known exactly what is okay to pray and what isn't because of eschatology. Eschatology is the study of the end times. And people, you know, they're kind of like, well, I don't know about praying for that one. That's, you know, that looks like what's supposed to happen. And however, is it fairly safe to say, you know, people can nod, is it fairly safe to say that from the Great Commission, we know that we're supposed to do Jesus' commandments until he returns. Is that fairly safe to say? Yeah. This whole concern about why pray for the world to be more like heaven, for the Father's will to be done in earth the same way, why do that, you know? Jesus says very clearly in a selection where we get the Lord's Prayer, he says, let's see, it's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Right? He didn't say, check your eschatology. No. We are supposed to be doing that, and we are, without thinking about it, without questioning it, we are supposed to be doing that. And we are supposed to be teaching others to do so. Yeah. Eschatology will handle itself. We are to handle his commandments. When people resist you, because they will, be gentle with them. But this is what brethren are supposed to be doing. It's not negotiable. And the cool part about it is, we would all be doing a little better if the earth was a little more like heaven. So, it's not like we're being asked to do something hard, you know. Let's see. All right, lost again. One second. Apostle Keith is being delivered to the front lines. He is a kind of guy who likes to be at the front lines. He doesn't like to be in the back doing rear line stuff. And the Lord is delivering him to the front lines. He is not only to lead us to it, he is to lead us in it. When this comes, he will be our leader in it. He will walk again, says the Lord. Do not be impressed with these things. Be impressed with me, says the Lord. There is an example that the Lord's bringing to my mind right now. One of the things that we have often done our best, you know, I'm not disparaging anyone for it, but this is just an example of the difference between what we've been doing and where the Lord's moving us to. We've seen families that are struggling inside and out, the kids, the wife, the husband, everybody. And oftentimes we pray for them, prayers that sometimes work. You know, we pray, Father, be with them, give them mercy and grace, help them out of that situation. And those are all very good prayers. To pray that things be, that the Father's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. A prayer that is an example of that. Allow me to find this real quick here. This wasn't in my notes. Okay. So in Psalms 128, in verse 3, it says, let's see here. Well, let's start in 2. It says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table." Now, when we hear the word wife, every single scripture is for all of us, right? So there are certain meanings for women, but it doesn't always necessarily mean a woman, okay? So what we would do if we wanted to pray for that family, one example is we might pray, Father, your will, how a family would be in heaven, is that both of those people, the husband and the wife, they would be a bolstering, beneficial influence on every corner of the other's life. There would be nothing less in heaven, and the children would be a motivating and bolstering influence in theirs. Father, it would happen there, so we demand it to happen here, in Jesus' name. Amen. See, you look for where it is based in the Word, and you declare it. When you subdue something, you come across it and influence it. And where you influence it from is from the words that God gives you, if you want to be effective, which I do. I've had a lot of unanswered prayers in my life, and many of them for quite a long time, they were unanswered. And I can only imagine how bad I would be doing today if the Father had finally just said, fine, you can have that thing. And it burned and crashed like the Hindenburg. I don't even know where I would be. I might even be dead if one of those things had. But I might be rambling here. I might be about done. Let's all just pray together real quick. In Psalms 119, 173, it says, "Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts." Father, the people here, we have all been struggling in certain ways. And Father, we just ask that you move us forward as people who have chosen your precepts. Father, we ask that you give us your hand upon us and teach us what is in our way. It is not you. The Father just reminded me he did not create disease. Father, it's not you in the way. And we have the promise that eternity with you is coming. You are not in the way there, and you're not in the way here. No, you're not. And Father, we just... In Psalms 115, 13, and 14, it says, "He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children." The Father's attitude towards you is not to look for every little thing that you're doing wrong. The Father's attitude towards you is to increase you. He's not trying to fault find, nitpick. He's not trying to do that. And that attitude has held us back. It's holding back a lot of people right now, the Lord says. Perfection is not the key. The people who I sent out during my ministry were way less perfect than you. They were not born again. You are born again. I send you out again, but not with a new word. One you have heard. Your leadership has directed you here to go out and pray for people on the streets. You are to do that. You are to believe in me. I want earth as it is in heaven. I will not let you down, says the Lord. You will believe in me, you will follow me. That is the key that unlocks my power, my will, says the Lord. You align with me in want, not in perfection, says the Lord. You want what I want. That is what unlocks. I give you time. You use it and use these tools. Do not let what I have in heaven fail to reach earth. Do not let it anymore, says the Lord. There is some for you, and there is some for them. Psalm 67, starting in verse 1, it says, God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Salah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Blessings come, but they come by his will. Find the note of heaven, and you will find answered prayer. Yes. Amen.